morning, everyone. Praise the Lord for this day. I would like to thank God first for this day that He has given us, for this opportunity for me to stand before you, children of God, and speak before you today. And also I want to thank Mom Sherry for asking and giving me this opportunity. I call her Mom because she's a mother. She's really like a mother to me, and I'm sure to many of us here at APNTS. Also, I would like to apologize because, actually, this is my second opportunity, because the first time I was given the opportunity, I did not have the courage to stand here, and so I ran away. I dragged a friend to speak on behalf of me, but I couldn't do so this time because the Lord has given me this peace that He's going to stand beside me here today as I speak to you. So, Kim Lee has given a very good introduction, so I will not say anything more about myself. Many of you know me, but there are some friends who are new, so you may not know me very well. But I've been living and studying here for 4 years now, more than 4 years, going to be 5 next June. So I've been here for pretty long, and I've met APNTS, my home. I feel very homely now that I don't want to leave, but eventually I know I'll have to leave sometime in the future. And these past 4 years has been, my experience this past 4 years has been an overwhelming journey of ups and downs. And today I want to share you some of my deepest, some of my most vulnerable experiences that I've gone through in my life, not just here in APNTS, but from my childhood. I just want to share a piece of what I've never shared to a crowd like this before. So if my emotions break down, I apologize ahead of that. But if not, then praise God. I hope that He will sustain me. So I was born in a Christian family, and my parents are devout Christians. My paternal grandfather was among the first few from our village who converted to Christianity from paganism in 1947, and I'm still basking in the glory of his conversion. No, not really. Oh, I have to really work hard, struggle through to where I have become right now. I have a big family. And we were 9 of us siblings, and I'm the youngest of them all. Like, one of my eldest brother died of malaria in 2000. So we are now 8 of us, and I'm the youngest. And as early as I can remember, I was told by my parents, by my siblings, that I am the chosen one, that I am the dedicated one to serve God. You see, in our context, when we say that this child is dedicated, we mean that this child or the person has no option for other careers but to study theology, to study the Word of God, to go into Bible college, to study in the seminary and serve God fully, to be in the ministry all their lifetime. And so from as early as I can remember, I was told that I was going to be that kind to be that person from our family. So I knew all along. And I didn't understand what that meant when I was young, but I would always tell my teachers and I would tell my friends at school that when I graduated from college and university, I would go to Bible college and seminary and study theology, become a theologian, and serve God. So that was very narrow understanding of what serving God was. Being born into a loving family doesn't mean that I did not have any troubles. Growing up, I lost many of my dear and near ones to death. There were so many dead in our family, and those painful experiences stole all my security. Some of the terrible experiences that I went through because of that are this, as you will see today. The first thing, fear. Because of losing so many loved ones, I lived with and in fear all my childhood. Unlike other children who were afraid of ghosts or of snakes or of monsters and other imaginary things. I was not afraid of them all. I was not even afraid of spirits or ghosts, not even of darkness. But what I feared the most was death. And I would imagine things in my head. I would imagine my loved ones dying, even those who are alive. I would imagine them in my head, dying in my head. I would cry just like that. So it really terrified me. And one of my worst fears came true in 2001, January, when Dad snatched away my mother from me. I remember that night. I went through this so many times, I'm sorry. I remember telling my uncle that night that I don't want to live anymore in this world. I wanted to be with my mother. I was just 11 years old. At 11, I didn't understand that God had so much for me. But of course, nobody knew how to comfort a grieving child. Nobody studied HCD. So my feelings, my hurts were brushed aside like nothing. And I continued hurting for many years. Also because of that, shame came into my life. If I thought that my childhood life was difficult, I was wrong. Teenage years were worst. Even though I knew the Lord, even though I went to church every Sunday, I said my prayers every day in the morning, every meal, every night before I sleep, and read my Bible, there was this deep shame because I didn't have a mother. My teenage years were rebellious. I would dress myself in black, all my clothes from black t-shirt, black pants, Converse shoes. And I would wear this dark eyeliner, and I also had some piercings, which I'm not proud of. And I would only listen to punk music, rock punk music. And if any one of you wants to challenge me in punk music of those days, I tell you, you don't stand a chance because I know each and every song from every punk music artist. So I only listened to those type of music and I drifted away from the Lord knowingly, deliberately. And I was against everyone. And when disciplinary actions were taken, I felt that nobody cared for me. I was more angry. I was more rebellious, and I grew colder and colder and harder in my heart. I grew more distant from everyone I love. I grew more distant from the Lord. I was ashamed at school and in Sunday school and everywhere I went to say that I had no mother. Every Mother's Day was a nightmare to me. And partially, I blame myself because I thought it was my fault that my mother died because I had imagined her dying when I was young. And I was very angry and just ashamed. I did not want to discuss anything relating to mother or relating to family to anyone because I was ashamed to say that I had no mother. But it was not only that. Next came anger. I began to develop very bad temper in my adolescence years. I would get angry with God for making me feel miserable. I knew that I was going to be his servant one day. I knew that I was going to go to a seminary and be a servant of God, but still I was so angry with God for making me feel miserable. I thought, if there were any problems in the house, I thought it was because my mother was not there. And I was angry to God and to my mother because they were not there. I felt abandoned. I felt so angry. a recent burst of anger, not this deep, because I've let go of all these things, but was when I gave birth to Irafi, and there were some nights that I was so drained emotionally, physically. Everything of me was so drained that I would just cry and... Sorry, yeah. That I would just cry and get angry because my mother was not there. I was... But I'm so much better now. But it was just some moment, like some nights that I had to deal with my anger. But yes, anger. And because of all these things that I went through, of course, naturally, I became a pessimist. I looked at everything and saw nothing good or nothing promising. To me, every good thing was going to end tragically, or it was going to end in tears. I saw myself, I envisioned myself growing and facing more troubles and pain. And I looked at everything in a very negative way. If somebody even compliments me, I would think that they're mocking me. Or, you know, everything was so dark within me that I did not see any light, any goodness in everything that I saw. During all those years, I did not think or look at the kingdom of God. I was not looking at anything that was eternal, but my focus was only on earthly, temporal things. And it didn't stop there. As I went to college, far away from home, in one of the big cities in mainland India, there I joined a Bible study, weekly Bible study, and there I was ministered to by a very kind and gentle woman who still remain one of my mentors. And from her and through her, I learned so many things about God. I let go of some of my insecurities and fears and doubts. And I somehow felt the love of God. But it didn't stop there. You see, transformation is not instant. Transformation doesn't happen overnight. I believe it is a gradual and an ongoing process. And I'm still going through. I'm still going through it. While in college and university, 5 years, I was exposed to more levels of challenges and pain. I really thought I would not share this because I don't want you to all have a negative picture of India, but this is what I went through and this has really impacted me, so I decided that I'll share this as well. So in India, in mainland India, we northeasterners, we Nagas and other states, the northeastern states, 7 states, we have different look, we have different lives, habits, everything about us is different. In fact, culturally and historically, we are not Indians, but we are under India. So we are Indians. So when I was there in far away from home, Indian cities were not safe for women, and just Northeasterners in general. Every single day, we would get mocked at, we would get laughed, we would get insulted. The Indian friends we have here, please don't misunderstand them. They are very good. They know Christ, so they are not like the people that I'm talking about. But it's very unsafe for us with our looks to be in the Indian cities because they love, they harass us always. And almost every day I went through verbal harassment, abuse. We face different kind of abuse. There is verbal, emotional, some even sexual abuse, physical abuse. And I went through verbal, emotional, and even physical abuse. Sorry. When we leave our hostel to go to college, we are always mentally prepared because along the way we know that somebody's going to just make fun of our looks. Somebody's going to make fun of our clothes. They call us names. They say unkind, disgusting things to us. They put price tag on us. They treat us like prostitutes. They ask, they just come up to us and say, "What's your word?" And all those disgusting things. So it was very challenging. And then, because of all these experiences, I developed hatred. If it was just for 1 month or 2 months or 6 months or even 100 days, I would have tolerated. Many of us would have tolerated. But no, it was not like that. It was every day, several times. So when you're exposed to like these situations like that, I guess you have no option but to hate the people around you. And thankfully, things are so much better now in India, especially in New Delhi. The government, the police have enforced strict laws to anyone who would harass Northeasterners. They have put heavy laws. That's why it's so much better now. But 5-6 years back, it was so bad. And so yes, hatred began to form in my heart. I looked at everyone and hated them. My hatred grew so much. It grew so much that even we had an issue with one of our, there were four of us in our room, and one of them was a Hindu Buddhist, and she had our own way, and we had our own way, and we had a fallout. So when after we graduated and left, three of us, we chose not to talk to her because there was so much of hatred in our heart. And I was not being Christ-like. I did not talk to her, and we just departed like that. But I still feel regret because you know what happened several months? She was the one who texted me first. She was the one who said, "I'm sorry for my behavior. I'm sorry for whatever I've done to the three of you. I gave you a hard time, but I'm sorry. I realize it was my fault, and I shouldn't have done all those things, and I'm sorry." So when I received that text, a deep shame came into me because I'm a Christian and she's not. I should have been more Christ-like. I should have been more forgiving. I should have been more loving, and I should have been more tolerant. But I chose not to. It was a deliberate, intentional decision that I have made that I regretted so much. Sometimes, even now when I see her online, I still feel so ashamed because I did not show her what Christ-likeness was. But because of hatred, it penetrated so deep in my heart that my ego, my pride, did not allow me to be Christ-like. Now, all these struggles, all these challenges were somehow tempered by love and constant support from small groups and mentors and counseling from friends and different people who were going through similar things. We just gathered ourselves together and we prayed and we somehow dealt with our issues. So when I came to APNTS in 2015, I was so excited. I was so excited to finally come to a place where I would feel closer to God, where everything about me would be renewed, where I would feel so much of the presence of God. And I was so excited. But my excitement did last long. My expectations were short-lived. One time, I remember when I went to the library and there was this friend who has already graduated. She told me this and I still remember very well what she said. She said, "Achi, when I look at you, you're so useless. Like you don't know what, you don't know anything. Like you cannot do anything, but you can actually do many things." And I was like, what? Is that a compliment or criticism? In my mind, I didn't say anything because I was like, I just gave her a glee because I didn't know how to react. Maybe, you see, English is a second language for many of us, and many of us find it challenging to express the way we really feel. And so I'm sure that she didn't mean to say it like this. She didn't mean to sound like this, but maybe because of, yeah, English being a challenging, sometimes been challenging, she said it like this. But after that day, every single day, every moment, I was thinking, am I really useless? Do I look really useless to everyone, to people around me? Do I really have no purpose? Do I really have no meaning? Does my presence here have no meaning? I'm useless. And I kept on thinking that I'm useless. And I went through such deep, deep spiritual dryness, and I felt useless. I could not sense the presence of God in my life. There were nights that I would cry myself to sleep, begging God to speak to me, to let me feel at least just for one time, just for one second, His voice or His presence or anything supernatural that would reassure me that He's still with me. Those nights, those times, this is what I lean on to create. It's from Psalms 51, Psalms of David. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I would especially repeat verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Everywhere I went, even during daytime, even when I was talking to people, in the back of my mind, I was always saying this. And I didn't share to anyone, not even to do what I was going through, because I was ashamed that I was in a seminary, that I attended prayer meetings, that I attended chapels, and yet I felt so dry and useless. That I was ashamed and I didn't say to anyone. But when I look back, I realized that it was me who had drifted away from the Lord. When Dr. Dick preached about when he spoke as the devil's son, he said that we choose to use our phones, our social media becomes more important, our movies, our assignments, academic requirements, all this becomes more important than God. And I also did that. I realized that I was placing other things before God. I chose to seek comfort from other things, from going, being social with others, seeking comfort in comedy movies, in social media and all that. And I realized it was because of me that I drifted away from God, that I went through such spiritual dryness. Because if I look back, I never heard God's voice or experienced anything supernatural. But I realized that God was with me all this time. He was slowly, slowly transforming my heart. In the scripture read to us today, Jesus said that He's the good shepherd who looks after and takes care of His sheep. For so many years, beginning from my childhood, Jesus has been my good shepherd. He has always gone before me. He has always stood by me. But the enemy was also playing with me. You see, the enemy was taking all the joy that God has given me. The enemy stole even the love that God has already given for me. And if I look back, I realize God's love for me was always present. Recently, after I gave birth to my daughter, I realized God's love so much more than I have never realized before. I love Irafi so much that I cannot stand to see a mosquito bite on her. And the other day she fell, she knows how to roll. So the other day she rolled from the bed and fell down. And my heart broke into millions of pieces. As I see her face when she sleeps, I see the love of God. And God convicted me. It was so loud one time. It was so loud and clear that God's love is equal for all of us. He led me to, he convicted my heart that he also died. He also loved those people who caused me so much hurt. The people that I hated so much. Even those people in India who hurled insults, who mocked, who said disgusting, unkind things to me. He said, God loved even those people and he died for them. And that I too should love them and forgive them and pray for them and love them. The conviction was so strong, and slowly, slowly I begin to let go of the hatred that I've bore in my heart, that I've harbored in my heart so long. And it is all because of God's redeeming grace. He's the power of the blood of the Lamb that have made me, that have made me realize these things. I've been allowing the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy the love and peace that Jesus has already given me. I've been tricked by the enemy for so long, blinded, not allowing me to hear the voice of Jesus, who knows me by my name and who loves me and who always leads me to green pasture. I've allowed the enemy to steal the joy, the love for so long. But it says here that he came to give life, abundant life that we may all have. And this verse, this particular verse, is so true and real in my life of all the experiences that I've went through. I can now testify that the enemy has no control over me. I have let go of my fear, of my shame, of my hatred, of my pessimistic negativity that I had for so long, of everything that had destroyed my peace for so long. I have let go of all that. And it's not because of me, it's not because of myself, of my works, but it's all because of the blood of the Lamb. I now hear the voice of Jesus telling me that he loves me, that he has greater plans for me, that there are better days ahead, that I will see my mother one day in heaven, along with all my loved ones. And today, if any of you here are going through the same thing, you may be going through the spiritual dryness that I was talking about, where you cannot feel the presence of God. Or some of you might be going through health issues. Some of you are going through things that you cannot love and forgive people who have caused you harm. Maybe some of you are fearing for your future. I would say that none of these things are from God. These are all the enemy's work, trying to blind us, trying to stop our ears from listening to the voice of Jesus. So I would encourage us all to continually focus, to fix our eyes, to fix our hearts on Jesus. Because what he has done in me, he will do it again in your life. In my life, he will help us overcome all the struggles that we might go through in the future, in the days to come. So I would encourage that we'll all keep our focus on the one who calls us by name and who gives us abundant life. I would like to request the worship team to lead us. the response. Thank you.
Let us all rise for the response song. Let's sing. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. All of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, still God, I have a reason to sing, I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, You are still God, I have a reason to sing, I have a reason to worship. Seed I receive, I will sow.
We know the enemy does come to steal and kill and destroy. Maybe you would like to join this one who's praying here at the altar, just to give a time for the Holy Spirit to warm your heart and restore your salvation, the joy and the abundant life. As the team still continues to play, let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You that You are here.